Good evening, Radio City legends. 6:30 on your Thursday evening. The games are coming thick and fast. Midweek ones to talk through. We've got a full schedule at the weekend as well. Whatever is on your mind, please give us a shout. New callers always welcome as well. 01514720967. Graham Sharp and John Aldridge using this show as a way to get out of the Christmas shopping. So the boys are in the studio for an hour. Are you good at your Christmas shopping, John? Do you help?
No, not really. No.
Can't see you as a Christmas shopper, to be honest.
No, not the best. No, John does it all. No.
Any way to get out? Sharp? There's no way Sharp is getting dragged into a shop.
No, don't do it.
Think of all those poor hubbies in the cars now driving into town.
No,
2 hours of pain.
I'll tell you what, no, it's good when you do it for yourself. Like, once you go boss and made a good meal of it the other day. So
yeah, you're probably getting discount, that's why.
Oh, good deal. A little bit dizzy going on.
Boys, right, midweek action to look at. We'll start with Everton. They were trying to sort of banish the memories of the derby. It didn't completely happen in the way they would have wanted with the 1-1 draw with Newcastle.
It was what I expected. Didn't think anything else. I thought it would be a difficult game. I think coming off the back of a big defeat at home to West Ham, I expected, you know, what I saw. You know, Newcastle, Benitez came down, set himself, his team up defensively, very strong, sat behind the ball, tried to frustrate, get the goal, decent goal from Rondon. But they showed character to get back. But listen, Everton bossed the game in terms, if you're one of those guys that looks at stats, you know, of possession and everything else. But they defended very well, defended set pieces very well, looked a threat on the break, and maybe should have got more from the game near the end when Christian Atsu was 1-1 and should have done better, but just rolled into Jordan Pickford's arms. But it was a little bit of disappointment from supporters, but, you know, listen, it's still early stages for me.
Was it not something like 78% possession? Well, I can't find the stats
in here.
And 19 shots on goal.
Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah.
Which tells the story about perhaps needing that striker again that you talked about from him recently.
Well, again, Tosin came on. You know, I felt sorry for him as well. You know, he was making runs, he wasn't getting the ball. You know, and it was one of those games. You know, just and then they made the substitution. He started Lookman really on the periphery of things, didn't really get involved much. Had some good touches, but no, I think Newcastle came and done a job and they went away with the point. You know, they'll think that job well done, especially in the run they were at. But a little bit disappointing for Everton fans.
Yeah, points wasted for Everton, I'd say. Obviously, Watford at the weekend's tricky as well. But they currently sit on the same points as Man United and Bournemouth. Which is, you know, it's a bit bizarre, isn't it? If you look at the table and look at those three together. But that's how they currently are. Liverpool came from behind. Seven changes at the start of play, John, after the derby fixture.
Did you feel
a little bit awkward when you see seven changes?
You know, it does get disjointed. You don't, you know, you lose that fluidity. It came back, funny enough, when Moreno went off and we sort of brought Firmino and Salah on and Milner went left back. And from then onwards, we didn't look back. You know, first off, we were very poor. It was really, the lads up front, you know, Sturridge came in, you know, he was flittering off the back four, didn't really get on the ball as we'd like him to. You know, Origi shows why he's not been played, to be quite honest. I know he needs games and all that, but I thought he was really poor, really poor. Shaqiri, you know, there was no real great movement for him to find the edge into them in the first half, and it just flitted out. They were just playing long, hopeful balls. You know, it was all about picking the second balls up. We defended okay first half, okay. But we didn't create nothing really of note. Second half, it was different. I think when they went ahead, I thought, you know, we're going to struggle here. But then when Milner went left back, we sort of made strategy. Great goal from him. It's a great goal, great move, great goal. But then, you know, we finished really, really strong. And you know, it was a massive 3 points to come back, you know, from a tricky, can be a tricky place. As bad as Burnley are this year, it can be a bit tricky. You know, and it was a really good result.
Might have been a good goal for Roberto Firmino, who has struggled. We've talked about it on the show a lot. He might just need that bit of a confidence booster. And he made a difference when he came on.
Yeah, he did. You know, Salah did. But, you know, we've been saying that all season. He's popped up with a goal, Firmino. Let's hope this is the one that spurs him on, because we do need him now, because the going's going to get tough. Obviously, we lost Gomez at the back. You know, we have got cover. Lovren's, I think he's been sick the last couple of games. He'll come back into the fold with Matip. So we have got the cover for the 6 weeks. But it's pity for the lad, because, you know, he always seems to be, You know, when he's doing well, he picks up these injuries, and it's a 6-weeker or there or so. So you feel for him a little bit. As far as the tattle goes, a lot of it's been on Sky today. I do think it was a really good tattle. It was, I think, because the rain on the surface, he skimmed and all right, he's lunging early, but he got the ball. I can see why the manager's a bit frustrated.
Because you two are very much advocates of that sort
Listen, it's changed unbelievably so, but you can't tackle and you can't go off your feet and all this kind of thing. But I thought, looking at the tackle, as John said before we came in, if you were the manager, if you were Sean Dyche, you'd be like, well, good tackle there, good tackle.
And if
you look at it, and we keep having this argument about, oh, tackling, it's no tackling in the game now. That was a real good tackle for me. It's just unfortunate the boy got the injury. It was, you know, bad enough. Hopefully he's not out for too long, kind of thing. But
Klopp says the players are not in control when they tackle like that.
Because they slid in. I think what it is, when you get the rainy surfaces, the defenders love that.
Yeah.
We've had it loads of times. Yeah. You can see it coming and you can't really get out the way. You know, if you can get out the way and just stand on them, it's a bonus, know what I mean? But it's an advantage for them, you know, because it gets them the momentum to get the ball. Yeah. So I think it's because of the conditions. Yeah. If it wasn't conditions like that, right conditions, he perhaps mightn't have done that.
Yeah, true. And I just think that... Listen, I can see where he's coming from as well. He's not in control if he's off his feet. I can understand that. But that was a British game, you know, and I know it's changing. Yeah. And I think the majority of supporters would hate to see that go out the game. Now, you go to games now and you see somebody win a good tackle and they get booked and they go, what's going on there? And
we love it.
Yeah. But we've had the Everton. Look, Stevie G done tattles like that a lot of time, and we go, yes, get him, what a tattle.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate that he got injured. Yeah. The one tattle that was really bad, and he always does it against us, Bardsley. And his lad's from Manchester. He might be a Man United fan, I don't know. But
yeah,
that was a nasty.
Yeah.
He's gone right over the top there on Moreno. And that, for me, if the referee's seen it from a different angle, that could have been a red card for me.
And if you're Burnley, you haven't got the players of Liverpool's quality. You use what you've got at your disposal, and that's the fight.
Get after
them. And that's the tackling, and that's the trying to energise the crowd with the passion.
The manager's like that. So right away they would have said amongst them, and I think it's mostly a British team, you correct me if I'm wrong, but they'll be in the dressing room saying, right, let's have a right good go here. Let's get into them, get involved, don't let them sit back and play football.
Under conditions, it makes it easier.
Yeah, but I just don't think in that situation, I think the boy genuinely has gone to win the ball and he's won it. And obviously, unfortunately, the boy's fractured his leg kind of thing. But I don't think there was any malice whatsoever in the boy winning that tackle.
Fingers crossed for Joe Gomez. Yeah. He's an absolutely lovely lad. Let's take a few callers. It's the Radio City Legends, 0151 472 0967. We're starting on the Liverpool front with Gary. Evening, Gary.
All right, Steve.
You okay, mate? Right, we've got the lads in the studio. What do you want to talk about?
A few things, really. One of the first things, the signs he showed in that game there, I think it's what we all expected from the start of the season, really. It's quite exciting to see the fact that he might start settling down now, and you know, hopefully that's him going to kick on. I'd like to see the midfield sort of be a bit more creative than they have been since the start of the season. I know we've deliberately sort of changed our game as Klopp's been come out and said, you know, so that when we can't play that attacking game all season, because we do burn out and we do struggle sometimes and it does leave gaps in behind. But I think now we do need to start seeing a bit more creativity so that the front three can start firing all cylinders.
Yeah, no, totally agree. For me, Keita was man of the match. You know, in the first half, when no one was really getting on the ball, it was like a hot potato, the way they were going about it, Burnley.
Yeah.
He was the one that you felt sure can get on the ball and wouldn't give it away. He only gave it away once in all the game, I think.
Yeah.
But I thought he was really good. And it was the signs early on the season when we seen him. And I've seen him before over in Germany. He's got top, top quality. He looks a great player. And hopefully, this, as you said, this is a fair sign of things to come. You know, he's got 90 minutes. He looked like he'd settled down, whereas he hasn't in the other games, because we need him now. And you're right, the reason being the creativity in midfield sometimes isn't quite there with the players that we've got. We've got mostly defensive-type players. You know, Milner can see a pass up there. Shaqiri can when he plays in there. You know, Wijnaldum and Henderson, yeah, but they do from deep. You're looking at what Man City do with it. It's like silver, isn't it? He's always the one that gets in, you know, in, yeah, or makes runs in behind. Yeah,
since Coutinho left, isn't
it? Well, you need that midfield play to make runs beyond your strikers as well. You know, to play off them, to get the balls off them, to play little balls into the box, but also to get in behind and make runs, which opens the space for them. And for me, he's the man that'll do it.
Yeah, I think now it's time for us to see the Fabinho Keita Wijnaldum partnership. In my opinion, I know Milner's been brilliant so far this season. I think I'm not into this Henderson bashing what you get from some of our fans, but
I agree.
I think we've evolved from Henderson now. I think he served his time with us, and you know, I'm grateful for it. And I think he's a great player to have around the club and stuff. We're better than it now, and we sort of progress from him.
Although you probably need quite a few Keita performances until you maybe get to that point, don't you? But this is the first time he's sparkled, isn't
it? Yeah, he's capable of doing it, Steve. You know, it's there in him, you know. I've seen him many times. So hopefully, you know, especially with the games coming as they are now, he could be a bit of a star for us in the coming weeks.
I just think, I know what you're saying, you need more performances from Keita there, but it's a different position that he plays from Henderson anyway, isn't it? I think Henderson's position now is more like Wijnaldum, Fabinho, who are going to sort of take that role on.
That's right.
And I think I'd like to see them sort of starting to build a partnership rather than swapping and changing all the time. Although we've got the games coming thick and fast now, it's an hard period to start trying to build a relationship, because you're going to have to swap and change your team a little bit.
Yeah, but do you know, I think, and I don't know if you agree with, I don't think he knows his best midfield yet, Jürgen. I don't think he knows absolutely. It. There's that many. We've got like five or six of them. Chamberlain's there, obviously. Mm. He doesn't know which fix is the best for him because he chops and changes all the time.
He had an idea at the start of the season who he wanted to be in there, but the fact that Milner started so well, Wijnaldum started so well, it's given him a bit of a headache, which is cool for us, obviously. You know, you're not going to complain about that.
Yeah, true.
It's just a bit, I think the Gomez injury for me is a bit worrying at this time, because the partnership he's built with Van Dijk was... So obviously, it was formidable. Five goals we've conceded in the league this season. And, you know, the best start we've made in our history.
Yes.
It just shows you how good City have been with us only being second.
Spot on, yeah.
Do you know, I think that's remarkable? That's the best start Liverpool have made
of all time.
In their history. Even if you talk about the late 70s as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and the 80s, you know, the great teams we've
had. Yeah, when you think of the teams
amazing.
We've had over the years.
But it shows you where City are at, you know, squad wise.
It's a stunning start. Absolutely is.
Yeah.
What's going to happen come the end of the season, Gary?
Oh, you've put that on my toes, haven't you? what we've got to do basically is we've just got to keep going, haven't we? We've got to keep just looking after ourselves, get the wins on the board, and you know it's gonna if we stay on City's tails, and they're gonna have a decision to make at some point whether they go for the league or whether they go for the Champions League. I know they've got the squad to do both, but you seen a little wobble they had the other night. They probably were lucky to come away with the 3 points. So I'm confident. I'm hopeful and confident that we can get there, but it's going to be hard. I think it's going to be a new point total to set records. Like,
isn't it just Sharpie? In the last two games, Liverpool have done something remarkable, haven't they? Obviously against Everton and last night.
But you've seen the City were lucky. You could see the same about Liverpool, you know, against Everton to get the 3 points. But is it, you know, when you talk about Liverpool or the start that both teams have had in terms of, you know, the points tally, the record points tally, is that, listen, it's great kind of thing, is that because the league's poorer now? Than it was then.
Yeah. No, I agree. It is like it's a league of basically you've got the top 7-8, and the rest are also runs. You know, and you've got the people at the bottom. You know that they're going to be 7 or 8 teams.
Still a great achievement. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just thinking.
No, I agree.
It's still a very high points tally you're talking about.
But what I'm seeing, you're talking about 3 points.
I'm not too sure I agree with that, to be honest. Some of the teams in our league, as much as you have got like the top, you've got the top two at the moment this season, and you've got your likes of Arsenal, Spurs, Chelsea, we're all sort of a little bit behind.
Mm.
But them lower teams in our league still off the top teams than they do around the rest of Europe in their leagues.
Yeah, I'm not just saying that about other leagues. I'm just talking about that if you go back to Liverpool in the 80s or the 70s, whatever, and looking at the league and the teams there that they could, the teams there, even lower down teams could take points,
yes,
even if they came to Anfield or whatever. Yeah. And I just look at it now and I think, are there teams that can go to Anfield and get points? And as I said, I'm not taking anything away from the start they've had. It's a great start. But I'm just thinking, is that, and we've said it here before and about the Premier League, and we've said, right, okay, there's four teams possibly that they can win it. Okay, they go to six kind of thing. But I think it's becoming more of two leagues.
Whereas it was
never that before. Although there was the ones that have and ones that have not. But I just think there's more of a split now.
And the teams in the bottom half are more resigned to actually losing to the teams in
absolutely.
The top half.
Now, we see when they come to Anfield what they do. You know, we've seen teams come happy to get beat 1-0, 2-0.
Oh, yeah.
A prime example, guys, you know, I think Sharpie's right, personally. I play for Oxford United in the old Premiership stroke First Division, you know, and we were a good side, but we could, Everton, we stopped Everton winning the league that year when they came to our place, you know, when Liverpool won the double the first time, you know, we were capable of beating the top teams, and we did, we beat Arsenal, you know, Everton, we drew with Liverpool, you know, you don't see that too much now. You don't, you know. So I think that's, you know, it's not detrimental to Liverpool in any way at all.
Not at all.
But, you know, it's great achievement. I just think the league now is poorer. You know, the top teams have got stronger and stronger, and the bottom teams haven't.
Like the golf's bigger. Yeah. Gary,
We've sort of gone through this little spell of a few years ago. We had it where teams were coming to Anfield just to lose at times, and we went through that spell where they were coming and having a go, and you know, where the defence was a bit ropey and stuff. And now we seem to be getting back to it where they are coming and they're coming to lose again, just trying to keep the deficit down.
Really good point. To be fair, we built a fortress there, you know, and he's done that because you're right. Teams were coming and they weren't scared a couple of years ago, but now they are. They're intimidated before they come.
Gary, thanks very much for the call. Great points.
All right, Steve.
There we go. Great first call on the Radio City Legends. 0151 472 0967. Do you agree? Is the league weaker than it ever was? Could that be the reason why City or maybe even Liverpool will take record points hauls? We'll talk about that and plenty more on the Radio City Legends with Graham Sharp and John Aldridge. It's your perfect friend for a Thursday night. Radio City Legends 10 to 7. John Aldridge, Graham Sharp, I'm Steve Hothersall. Some news breaking this afternoon. The FA Cup third round tie between Wolves and Liverpool will be shown on BBC One on Monday the 7th of January. So Monday the 7th of January will be the game between Liverpool and Wolves, which probably fits in with what Jurgen Klopp wanted because I think he said the Man City game was too close to
Thursday,
the weekend.
Yeah, it's Thursday, yeah. So
he got what he wanted again?
He got what he wanted, yeah.
He's got himself off with a fine, £8,000. And it's ridiculous.
That's a lot of money, man.
Yeah, it's a few bob.
Who was it? It was Marco Silva. Had said something today about it, and he stuck up for him, and to saying, you know, it's the emotions and all that kind of thing. But somebody made a good point in that if a fan ran onto the pitch, he'd be banned for the season, wouldn't he? Take the season ticket off him. Somebody ran on at Liverpool as a fan.
Well, surely it's very different. No, but I'm just saying, fan.
No, but I'm just saying, Marco Silva said entering the pitch when you shouldn't do. It's like.
Yeah, but he's probably stuck one on the steward to get on the bridge.
But no, Marco Silva stuck up for him and said, listen, these things happen. You know, he had no problem with it at all. After seeing it again.
No, you two have been managers. I'm sure I've seen you run on the pitch.
I'm sure
I've seen you lose your head. Sharpie was far more tranquil.
Right involved, you know, with the passion of the game. And £8,000, you know. And Charlie's right, you know, the FA should put that to grassroots football. They shouldn't take it off him to put in their kitties. It should go to grassroots football or something.
And
like
the food banks. We talked about the food banks.
Anything where it helps rather than...
And how good would that be for the FA if they'd done that?
Bit of positive publicity. Yeah.
If anyone's listening from the FA, which they won't be.
The FA love this show. Yeah. Right, let's go back to the phone lines. Radio City Legends, John Aldridge, Graham Sharp, and we're going to talk Everton now. I think we've got Dave on the line. Evening, Dave.
Evening, mate. You okay?
Hello, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, mate. It was just, I went to the game last night.
Yeah.
Season ticket holder in the park and Sharp. Just wanted to talk about effectiveness instead of efficiency.
Yeah.
It's sort of... Everton had a lot of shots on goal last night. Well, they didn't have a lot of shots on goal last night. They had a lot of shots. Some of them were flying at me in the park end.
Yeah.
But it was more to do with the fact that they only had like three shots on goal, whereas like Newcastle had five. Mm-hmm. And they seemed to have a lot of possession, Everton. They weren't seemed to be in the first man and stuff. And I just wondered what you thought about that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's been a problem for us. I think... Listen, I think he came and had a game plan to make it hard for us. He just sat back, and that's why the possession starts with the way they were, and then try to hit us on the break or a set piece or whatever. So they've done their job really, really well. But this is us. If we want to go to the next stage, you know, we've got to be patient. I thought we showed patience last night, but in that final
third, final ball, wasn't it?
Well, the number of free
kicks. I saw a lot of balls coming through, and there was no play anywhere near.
No, but the number of free kicks, the number of free kicks that were coming in, corners.
Dean or whatever his name. Yeah. Last night he was doing the adding.
Yeah, but no, listen, they done well. But again, I think the managers highlighted the fact that it's still early days. I think everybody can see that maybe that the next signing might be a centre forward, somebody who can hopefully create. Somebody said to me at the game last night, what a difference Rondon was. Every time the ball went up to Rondon, he got a hold of it, and then he brought other people into play. Unfortunately, we haven't got that type of player at the club at this moment in time.
No, that seems to be the case at the moment. We seem like we have a lot of sort of attacking midfielders who aren't natural scorers necessarily. Apart from the Carlson, maybe. But you're right.
Yeah. So I think that's what you'll look at and think, okay, if I'm going to get improve the team, that might be an area that I have to look at, whether it be in January or in the summer.
You hear that in the crowd. To be honest with you, you hear a lot of people saying that we need a striker, goal scorer. You know, that's the park end saying that a lot. Yeah. You know?
I just think, listen, I agree there kind of thing. I just think it's unfortunate. Jenk Tosin played last night and, you know, he wasn't involved an awful lot, Jenk. He had an opportunity, the Gladys Street end.
Certainly did,
The keeper saved it, didn't know a lot about it, but good save and good goalkeeper him. So if that goes in, it's a different story in terms of not just the team, but Jenk himself, a little bit of, you know, confidence for him. But he worked tirelessly up there last night. Didn't get a lot of service, but, you know,
he hasn't played a lot.
No. He needs a run of games. Whether the manager will give him a run of games remains to be seen, but he certainly needs a run of games up there.
He'll want to win against Watford, though, won't he?
Yeah, well, that'll be an interesting one. That'll be interesting.
In terms of the derby, I agree with you about what Klopp did. It's one of those things. Yeah. I'd have been the Everton manager and we'd have scored in 96 minutes. Yeah. I mean, I'd still be running.
Yeah,
that's the way to look at it. Dave, thank you very much.
Cheers, Dave.
Some great points made. Cheers, Dave. We're only sort of 3, maybe 4 weeks away from the transfer window opening. So, you know, expect the speculation to start being ramped up in the papers. Yeah. What would you like to see Everton go ballistic in this window? No, or only if it's someone relevant?
It wouldn't happen. I don't think that will happen. No. I think they'll do their homework. And if there's somebody out there that they want, they'll get. And if there's somebody out there they'll have to wait for, I think they'll wait for. I don't think they're going to be rash. I don't think they're just going to get one for the sake of getting one. I think the one that I'm talking here now, I think if they're going to get one, they'll take their time and make sure it's the right one. I think the days of just going out and splashing the cash and taking a gamble, you know, have gone now. So I think if they are bringing a striker in, I think they've done their homework.
Was Tosin a gamble at the time?
Tosin was Sam Allardyce's signing. You know, and
was it a gamble though? If you look at it now and look back at the influence or the effect it made.
Well, Jenk came in and listen, he had a good reputation. He's came in. Everton's been up and down, you know, since he joined the club with Allardyce and everything. Walcott was an Allardyce signing. You know, it doesn't matter how much money you pay for him. If a new manager comes in and doesn't fancy. Mm. You know, so Jenk's had to or is trying to win over this new manager. You know, whether he does or not remains to be seen. But listen, Allardyce decided he needed him and he scored some important goals for us. But sometimes it's not the new manager's idea of a player.
I think Everton's got decent players in the summer. Yeah. And last year he was struggling a little bit. And when you like that, you really have to gamble a little bit. I think Everton now are building, from what I'm seeing from the outside, building for the future. And they're not looking at the players they were last year, looking at the ones where they're going to take them where they want to be. Mm. And they're not easy to come by.
So how does it work in a club? If you're the manager and you say you're Marco Silva in the summer and you say, oh, I just need this. And they say, all right, we'll give you 150 million. Then you spend it and you get to Christmas. Do you then have to go in with your begging bowl? Or how does that work? Do you basically eat some humble pie?
45.
Yeah.
No, listen, the manager makes a decision, and with the director of football, Marcel Brands, he'll talk about it and they'll know what they're wanting. And
so they know you need a striker.
They'll know what's available, you know, and what it will take to bring a certain player in, which they've done their homework with Gomez and Dina and Mina and everybody else. They know what the deals are. So they'll be already talking to people. You know, Marcel Brands will be already talking to people. You know, what's the possibility of A, B, C, D or whatever kind of thing. So I think it's well in hand.
Yeah, he's got a good network as well. Right, let's get back to the phone lines. Radio City legends, John Aldridge, Graham Sharp. We're talking Liverpool now with David. Evening, David.
Evening, gents.
Hi, hello, David. Dave.
I'd just like to, well, last night for us, I thought it was a great result. I know Burnley are near the bottom and haven't won for a while, but it did test our resilience because obviously going 1-0 down, it could have been difficult for us that. And I thought we showed great character in coming back there. And I think obviously with City and that, I think they're like just like an annoying wasp at the moment. You know when you're trying to eat your tea and this wasp keeps coming over and won't let you eat it. I think that's where we're like the City at the moment. We're just buzzing around them all the time, and that's what we need to keep doing.
Keep
winning and winning. And then, for example, that puts a little bit of pressure on them. Say we beat Bournemouth on Saturday, then they go to Chelsea.
Well, you're right there, because they've been like, most of the time they seem to have the games before we play, and they keep putting pressure on us by winning and winning and winning. But the lads have responded, you know, in a great manner by keeping up with them, and it takes some doing to keep up with them. It's flipped around the other side now with the weekend. We could, you know, if we win at Bournemouth, you know, we go top of the league, don't we, by a point, and it just puts a little bit more emphasis on them going to Chelsea. I think they'll win at Chelsea anyway. I really do. Yeah. You know, Chelsea got a team that can harm them if they're off colour on the day. But let's hope that's the case.
Yeah, just sums us up, John. Done it their own time. We go on a great run, and yeah. Manchester City standing on our way.
That's right, isn't it?
It's just one of those things, John. You can't do it on the bar.
No,
can
no,
you?
They're relentless. But the thing is, the way they go in Manchester City. You know, it looks like with the manager Nando and the backing he's got with the monopoly money, you know, I think they're going to be there for a long, long time. It just looks that way, you know.
Yeah.
And obviously, I was thinking about our midfield, to be honest. Like, I watched Keita last night and I thought he was very good last night.
Yeah.
But it must be difficult for people like players like Keita, because obviously he was doing all right, then he got injured. And then he come back, but he never plays consecutive games. So, You were players. It must have been difficult if you've ever come back from an injury where you don't get like a run of games.
Yeah,
I think it was in the 80s and stuff. I suppose it wasn't much of a squad rotation as it is now. But I don't actually know if Jürgen knows his best midfield three.
No, we just said that. I don't think he does. No, we said that last caller. Funny enough, because for me, if Keita's, you know, on form, he'd have to be in there. He'd have to be in there because he's ideal for what we want.
John.
Well, that's it, isn't it? You know, Fabinho's been doing well a few games. Henderson's the captain, you know, so you presume that he's going to go in. Wijnaldum's had a decent season. Milner is Milner, you know. So it's a tough one. But out of the three of them, he likes to go strong sometimes, as we know. But we lack a bit of creativity when he goes with the three defensive side players. You know,
if you had to pick a player,
yeah,
who would be unfortunate to miss out, is Milner. For what he's done over the last 18 months, and you know what you're going to get every single game. You know what you're going to get from him. Very rarely he's under, what, an 8 or a 7? So you're thinking, wow, for consistency, he should be in every week, but it doesn't work like that.
Although 18 months ago, he's playing at left back, and he's probably thinking, oh, I wish I could play midfield, wasn't he?
Well, he went left back last night. He was brilliant at left back again.
And didn't he say that he wasn't going to play him at left back again? He was midfield, and listen, it's been brilliant.
He's done it. No? Right, is a left wing one to throw in there. What about Harry Wilson being involved in the squad in the second half of the season, who looks, who only scores worldies? Have you seen his Derby County rundown of goals now? They're just ridiculous, aren't they? Yeah. And I think there is a conversation happening about whether he should come back in the second half of the season.
Well, you want the lad to get the right schooling. And he's getting it at Derby under Lampard, you know, in a really tough league.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to take that away from him. But you know, you want to... If Jürgen thinks we're maybe lacking a little bit in depth, then... You know, and so to bring him back, but he knows where we are at the moment. You know, Jürgen, you don't want to bring him back and for him not to get games.
Yeah.
You know, another know, 15, 20 games between now and the end of the season at Derby will do put him in great stead, you know, and hopefully playing for Wales as well for next season, you know, to come into the fold. But only Jurgen will know that.
Well, he took a gamble last night, didn't he, in that game? Because there was all the people on social media and all the know-it-alls were all sharpening the knives, weren't they? Oh, yeah. Liverpool make seven changes. If we'd have fell flat on that game, they'd have all said, why did you make so many, many changes? Well, I trust Klopp. Yeah. Whatever Klopp decides to do for me, I'll go with it. And as much as I don't even want Moreno near the pitch, if he wants to play Moreno and Klopp wants to play him, I'm happy for him to play him. It's one of those now.
Well, for me, like I trust him, but seven yesterday, I thought, oh, it's maybe a couple too many, you know, because it does disjoint your team. Big time.
Were you sharpening your knife, John, were you?
No, I wouldn't have said nothing. But I 1-0 was very frustrated, but it all come good, you know, in the end. That's the main thing, Dave.
I think everyone was a little bit concerned at that point. Yeah. When I said Harry Wilson before, you'd obviously seen quite
I've
a
seen
bit of him, Sharpie, haven't you? What do you make of his progress?
Personally, I think he should stay at Derby. Yeah. Because what John said is, if he's coming back and playing at Liverpool week in, week out, then you say definitely come back. But I don't know if he would do at the moment. And I think another few months at Derby, playing regularly, scoring goals, you know, getting the plaudits, I'd stay there. But you never know, as you say, in terms of injuries or whatever, he might bring him back. But for me, for the boys' development, I think he'd probably learn more playing at Derby and then come back next season a better player.
So if he came back next season, where does he fit in then?
Well, for me, does he go in the midfield three or will he go in one of the wide positions up top? He can do both a little bit, can't he? Let's face it.
See, Klopp might change next year. You don't know. Klopp might evolve again because he's changed this year in terms of the way he plays. Yeah, so he might then again in the summer say, "Okay, I've got a chance. I've got an opportunity to put him in a certain position."
It's all fascinating, David. Mm. Thank you very much.
Cheers,
nice one. Really good points made tonight by everyone on the Radio City Legends. 6 minutes past 7 o'clock. We're here until 7:30. 11 minutes past 7 o'clock. Time for Pens, our quiz. I don't think there's any I'm a Celebrity questions in this tonight.
Up in this. He won so many penalties.
Oh, stop crying
it
in.
Pens at the end of the Pens and he wins every one.
He's crying it in again, isn't he?
Between the two of you.
13-6 behind.
12. No, I've got 12-6 on my sheet. 12-6, official adjudication at the moment. 12-6. Christian's
six
just nodded.
The ones that I was away.
And Sharpie's agreed to 1 week where you win double points.
Okay. No, he's
just
not.
Just to bring you back level. Let's get going. Sharpie, you start for once. Go on.
Go on, I'll go six.
Number six. Mystery voice. Okay.
Ooh.
It's his birthday today.
Oh, you keep saying that. Oh,
yeah. Birthday, have a think.
No.
The only time you're going to see...
We'll do it once more.
Yeah.
The only time you're going to see me.
There we go. Mystery voice. Who is
I think that's Tim Cahill.
Cahill.
Yeah. Yes! Yes! Oh. Yes!
Yeah.
I didn't know his birthday. Tim has got to be about 38.
39 years old today, Tim Cahill.
I'm glad I didn't get that because I didn't have a clue on that
one.
It was
a toughie, wasn't it? Yeah. A little bit squeaky as well, that voice. Right, John.
That's a Sharpie seen the answers. I'll go number one then, the opposite side of the ball.
Everton faced Watford at the weekend. What was the score the last time the two clubs met the league?
Goodison.
Didn't say that. No, just the last time they met in the league.
What was the score the last time they met in the league? He's holding five fingers
Watford,
up
Watford
here.
Won it. I think it was 3-1 at Watford.
You going for 3-1?
Something like that, I don't know.
It is one of those where you don't want to watch schoolboy football.
Sharpie, what was the answer?
Don't know.
1-0. Win to Watford. Troy Deeney.
Remember them winning the game, I thought. Yeah.
Sharpie, where are you going?
I'll go three.
Number three, right. What club have conceded the most goals in Premier League history? Which club has conceded the most goals in Premier League history?
Premier League history? Somebody that's been on there a long time, isn't it? So,
Everton have been there a while.
I think it will.
Have a stab.
I think it will be.
Everton?
Yeah.
Absolutely no idea. Yeah.
Who would you go for, John?
Oh, do you know what? I'd gone for West Ham.
No, it's actually Spurs. 1,234 is the answer. let's move on. So one right for Sharpie. Aldo, you got a chance to level it up.
Number two.
Come on, the music one, you're good at.
Number two. What was the last club the new Southampton boss, Ralph...
Oh, easy.
Hasenhüttl.
Hasenhüttl.
Which was the last club that he managed, and we talked about this on the show the other night.
We did.
It was a German club, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Lokomotiv Moscow.
Well, yeah, see, he's put me off all the time. My mother is winning me 12-6.
German club, out of the box. Come on.
Dresden.
Leipzig.
It's Leipzig.
I was going to say Leipzig.
It's where Naby Keita came from. Oh, John, two misses for
Leipzig,
you.
Mainz or Dresden.
What number was that?
Sharpie.
Two. That was two.
Right, so what do you want now?
The high-scoring game.
I'll go four.
What club did Liverpool sign Joe Gomez from?
Why didn't they get that one?
Which club did Liverpool sign Joe Gomez from?
Charlton.
He got it as well. He got it as well.
Nice and easy today, wasn't it? What happened to the old rich comeback?
I know, wasn't it?
You basically turned over and let Sharpie tickle your belly
that's
today.
That's the one I needed.
Leipzig one, you should have got that.
Well, you'd have got that anyway, wouldn't you?
Leipzig. But I got that, yeah.
What was the last one?
It's all random. Do you want to hear it? It was a song. So name the artist. Here we go. I'm much
too fast to take Bowie.
Yes.
Song?
Changes.
Oh, you should have had that, shouldn't you?
I've had that, yeah.
If you picked better...
I've had that in the Gomez one, unlucky.
Never mind. Sharpie 13-6. Yeah. Fair result at the moment. 13-6 to Graham Sharp on pence. Right, the game's coming up at the weekend. How do we think the landscape looks for our two teams then? Sharpie, first of all, Everton.
Well, we're Monday night, aren't we? So, I'll rest over the weekend. Just got to get them back in. I think he'll make changes again. It'll be interesting to see what he does in terms of... Surprised last night he dropped Michael Keane, who I thought had been playing well. Obviously resting and bringing Zouma in. So it'll be an interesting one. And Watford, obviously, with the shenanigans, if you like, that went on, with the Marco Silva thing, add a little bit more spice to it. But it should be a good game. They're playing well at the moment. De La Feo comes back. He looks as if he's in good form. Deeney, as you mentioned before, they've got some good players. Big strong team. Liverpool going down there the other week and winning was a really good result, because I think they're not bad, Watford. I think they can cause teams problems. So I'd expect them to come and have a different attitude to what Newcastle had. I think they'll make more of a game of it than what Newcastle did. But we will have to be at our best to get the 3 points.
Right, let's bring our next caller in. It's a blue. It's Ray. He wants to talk about Everton. Not sure that it's last night or the weekend. Morning, Ray. Morning, Ray.
Morning,
evening, Ray.
Morning.
Evening, Ray.
A long day.
Oh, God. It's hello, working with these boys. Right. What do you want to talk about, Ray?
Oh, it's Aldo Sharpie. Sharpie, just a quick one. I know we're looking for the centre forward, and last night proved that past couple of months. I'm going to get Slater there, but what's your thoughts for a short-term fix of putting T.R. Walcott up front with Calvin Lewin? Yeah. Go to two up top.
Going to I've heard people say play Walcott up top, bring him off the wing. He's wanted to play that position. He's played it a couple of times at Arsenal. Play him up top in his own, I think would be... he probably could do it, but I think it would be a short-term fix.
Yeah,
I think
we've got to go with two, haven't we?
I just think now going with two up front is a thing of the past. I think it's one of those phases. You used to go 4-4-2, then it was 4-3-3, then it's 4-2-3-1. And at this moment in time, I think the way that he's playing, I think he'll just play the one up front. I think Dominic Calvert-Lewin for me is the best fit at the moment, because he gives us a little bit more energy and more legs, and he can run in behind. He's probably better in the air. But Cenk Tosun, Cenk's probably a better goal scorer than what Dominic is, so it's an interesting one. But I'd love to see us go back to two up top, because I think playing up front on your own is the hardest job in the world, and I think Cenk finds it difficult at times. I think Dominic finds it difficult at times. You need to get support up there. I just think Walcott would not be physically strong. I looked at Richarlison and I didn't think he suited being up there in his own. And I just look at Rondon last night for Newcastle. Something like
Monster,
that.
Isn't he?
Yeah, just to get a hold of it and bring us up the pitch and make us play off him. At the moment, we haven't got that, and I think that's why we're struggling a little bit there.
I think we're looking at it, watching last night as well. I think Richarlison he's not, as you say, he's not strong enough, but he's so predictable. He's got to get this throwing himself on the floor out of the way.
Yeah.
I appreciate he's getting scraped down the back.
Yeah.
You know, and he is getting... Well, I was laughing at you, although before he was going about Klopp running on the pitch.
Yeah.
And I think there's a few Evertonians and Liverpoolians love to see you two running on the pitch in a kiss. In a kiss.
Yeah.
Especially me, Sharpie, with you. That'd stop it. But on a serious note, you know, you look at it. Now, it was two class saves last night that kept Newcastle in them.
Yeah.
You know, two class saves, and we have three shots. But I just think the solution, as you say, with Dominic, and I think Everton, for our younger players or players, you know, the heads go down, Barkley's one, make an example, the crowd, and stuff like that. I think Theo Walcott, I think his head's gone down, I was listening to you before, Big Sam brought him in. Mm. I like the guy. In fact, I've got to be honest with you, but his confidence seemed to go, you know, the last couple of games, the chances he's missed, I'm thinking, if you throw him up top with Big Dominic, you know, I'm not a big fan of Dominic Calvert-Lewin, I'll be honest with you, but that's something from now till the transfer window, we need something up front.
Why don't you even just try it? I mean, Aldo referred to this on the show on Monday.
Yeah, I've seen him play up top, just... but, you know, he looks very comfortable, centre-four, but, you know, what you know, Ray's saying is he's going to 4-4-2. Will the manager change his ways to suit him? I don't think he will. He'd still play with him leading the line if he did it and play the two lads either side, wouldn't he, Richarlison and another on the right-hand side?
Yeah. But, John, do you think we need two holding midfielders when we've got Gomez? Because I've got to be honest, we're going back to... The guy, you know, he has a good game, then he has an okay game.
Struggled last night.
And it's with him, he's so predictable. Don't get me wrong, he's got a great engine and stuff. But I think if you go 4-1, maybe 4-1-3-2, I wish I was Marco Silva right now because Dominic should be in with Walcott up front. But I just think we need to look at something. You go on about the derby last week, and I think all Liverpoolians have been quite a while. We turned it on, but we were still never going to score, was we? Let's be fair.
Yeah, I think, Ray, I think that everybody knows where the problem is, and I don't know whether it's formation or personnel or whatever, but that's what he'll be working hard at, and I'm sure at training as well this week. He'll be looking at, you know, different options that he can maybe, you know, get a goal scorer in there that's going to score goals, that's going to get us 3 points. But, you know, obviously he's got the option of putting Theo Walcott up front. I just think... Looking at the way the Premier League is and looking at Watford and the size of Watford, you know, a big, strong team, I think it'd be a gamble to play Theo up top.
Next door to me, Sharpie, ex-rugby player, he's 6'4". I might give
He might do, yeah. listen, by the way, we might need somebody like that.
Ray, thank you very much indeed. We have to move on, but some good points made. We're going to finish the show with Teddy. He wants to talk about Liverpool and the squad. Evening, Ted.
Evening, lads.
Hello, Ted.
Do you know what, mate, when that first goal went in, I think Judal had mentioned before about everyone sharpening the knives. I don't think we'd be sharpening our knives, although, you know, I think we were just expecting the worst.
I think at 1-0 I was. I thought, here we go, because the way we'd played up to that time. But I think, I don't know if you agree with me, I thought as soon as that one went in, get Firmino on. Get Salah on and show you the real intentions now, and he did that, you know, and that was when we came good, you know. As I said before, Milner went left back, and all of a sudden we were a lot more mobile, you know, inventive, you know, and it was a hell of a lot better. It was like chalk and cheese from the first hour of the game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it also showed, you know, I think 2 years ago, I don't think we'd have won that match.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it shows, you know, there's a belief there now. You know.
So was it genius in the substitutions there? Is that what we're saying? Right, time?
You've got to give him credit where it's due. That's what happens sometimes, you know. You know, it helped her in the right manner, you know. But it's luck or genius, you know, there's a fine line there, isn't he? What Teddy said then is right. When you do come from behind, you know, all of a sudden it gives you belief. If it happens in the future, because you've done it before, you can do it again, you know, without a doubt. You know, sometimes in the past, Liverpool, like a couple of 3 years ago, if someone went behind, we couldn't get it back. You know, all of a sudden under Klopp, you know, when we have gone behind, you know, in some games like that, that's a bit of a statement. You need, and so if something happens at Bournemouth, we realise we've done it before, and we can do it again. You know, subconsciously it does help.
So are you saying, Teddy, that you had far more belief when they went into that position last night than you would have had last season?
I never, but team did, obviously, which is great at the minute, you know.
But you actually have far more belief now, having seen that last night.
Yeah, just a bit.
It's amazing how it changed.
You know what, I ended up putting a little bevy on its event, M1-0, on the website, so...
God, that didn't go but, through. Yeah. I've done 4-1.
Don't worry, next time, boys. It'll happen for you. And what about the weekend's game, Teddy?
What do you reckon, yeah?
Last weekend?
No, next weekend.
No, Bournemouth.
Oh, Bournemouth on Saturday. Someone's lad before, you know, with Gomez being out, I just hope that Matip and Lovren can, you know, make a bit of a... They've got a chance now to spend the place in the team.
Might be Lovren, mightn't he? And then Trent will come in, and then Robinson will come in, so the balance will be back at least. But one thing with Bournemouth, you know, they mix up a little bit, but they play a lot more football than Burnley or some teams at the bottom do. Yeah. You know, and he's a cracking manager. Fair play to him. You know, he plays in the right manner. He's got them in an unbelievable situation, Bournemouth, to be where they are. Paul Daniels couldn't have done that.
Teddy, nice one. Thank you very much indeed. We have to finish the show. We didn't mention, of course, the Arsenal-Man United game last night. But how often have you been in a game where you've scored and the opposition scores within 20 seconds? Yeah. Yeah. You must have had loads of those, wasn't you?
You should say that that's your most vulnerable when you've just scored.
But Arsenal must be kicking themselves. Second goal they lost was awful.
Oh, terrible. Awful, yeah.
Should have won the game, shouldn't they?
Mm. Well, it's the result that we all wanted, no, in the draw, didn't you, really?
So Arsenal on the up. Chelsea, a few signs of cracks emerging there. Beaten by Wolves.
He's changing the team, isn't he? He's switching players around, you know, and it's not happening for him at this moment in time. Fabregas came back on the side, struggled a little bit. Barkley's not featured in the last two games, whereas he's been quite prominent early on. So he's changing the team around. But in saying that, they should have had a penalty. A stonewall penalty on Morata when the ball's flashed across the goal. He's 2 yards out and the boys just taking him out from behind and they both ended up in the net. Should have been a penalty.
It wasn't John Moss, was it?
Oh,
boys, listen, right, before I get you on that one.
Don't get me started on Lee Mason. He was useless last night.
Thank you for your company. Yeah. Aldo and Sharpie, they'll be back on Monday night to review the weekend's action on the Radio City Legends. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Radio City.